Thank you so much, Mia, for leading us. Good morning, everyone. So good to see all of you. And I was going to say, you look familiar. We just met yesterday. For many of us who went to Let's Carnival. And so thank you all who participated in that and more about it. And indeed, today's message will bounce off from God's Word and speak to us about what it means for us to serve in different ways, beginning with something like Let's Carnival. Okay. So indeed, Let's Carnival. And it was full of joy, full of celebrating together God's goodness that we want to pass to our nation and our neighbours, our family and our friends. And one of the ministers who came was Mr. Desmond Lee, and he wrote about this. And you can read the president's Facebook, the minister's Facebook, more about that later. And we need to ask ourselves, are we the glorious church of God or the inglorious church of God? And so in the sermon, actually it was supposed to be an open topic, but we thought we'd do a quick summary of Ephesians 1 to 3 as we bounce off and see what does that mean for us in our daily lives here in Singapore. And begin with a question that asks, why must we celebrate and rejoice and glory in what? Why must we celebrate and rejoice and glory in being God's church? And the moment I mention God's church, you mustn't think institution. You mustn't think building. The moment I mention God's church, you must think God's people. God's chosen people, God's saved people. And that's the question we want to answer from chapters 1 to 3. And so, in chapter 1 is the wholeness of the church, or the completeness of the church. What does that mean? And then we're going to go and take a look at the wholesomeness of the church in chapter 2. And finally, in chapter 3, the witness of the church. So this is the midway point before we hit the application parts in chapter 4 to chapter 6. What does that mean for us? So, you think we can read this together? A bit small, the print. You can read it in the Bibles, the ESV version. I'll begin. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of His salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So here's Paul the Apostle, and he's writing about God's story of love. The story of love that became a story of God saving us, and so we call it technically the story of salvation. God saving His people, saving us from Satan, saving us from the world, saving us from sin, saving us from God's wrath, saving us from death. So, the things I wanted to highlight to you are the we found out were the Jews, God's people in the Old Testament, the one nation of the Jews, through whom will come the Savior that will come to save all nations. The you are the Gentiles, all the non-Jews, Chinese, Malay, Indians, Americans, Caucasians, Africans. And the priority of the Jews and the finality of the Gentiles would add up to, if you ever want to understand the whole story of the Bible, it is summarized in this equation. Firstly, the priority of the Jews occupies the Old Testament. And then by the time you come to, hey, Jesus has come 2,000 years ago, what does that mean? Is to invite all nations to partake in God's promise, firstly to Abraham and to Israel, the totality of the church. So what does that mean? Firstly, the wholeness of the church. We celebrate the peace of the church secured by the blood of Jesus. Firstly, peace with God, because we are firstly at war with God, and that's spoken to us in chapter 2. And then peace between the two groups of people that hated each other the most, Jews and Gentiles. The only modern equivalent I can think of now is how much Hong Kongers may feel in their heart towards mainlanders, and how much mainlanders might feel in their hearts towards Hong Kongers. And you ask yourself, how on earth is peace ever going to come to those two groups of people of the same race, but now so divided by difference in politics? And so multiply that by a zillion times, and you get the animosity and the hatred, the barrier between Jews and Gentiles. And you ask the question, who will bring this peace? Jesus, by His death on the cross, He has cancelled this. So we celebrate the breaking down of every human barrier, every racial barrier, every cultural barrier, every class barrier, by Jesus, His death on the cross for us, His resurrection from the dead. And this is for God's glory. When you and I live in love, and live in peace, that love is experienced in peace and oneness and unity. This is what God created us for. But Satan in his schemes broke relationship with God and broke relationships with each other. And that's why we live in such a pained and painful world. That's why we live in such a broken world, a fragmented world, that from morning to night, from Monday to Sunday, your life is filled with brokenness. So what did we enjoy yesterday at Let's Carnival? What did we experience? And I'm going to show you photo after photo throughout the sermon, right? And many people serve. Our 80-plus small groups, DGs, served in the food stores, the game stores. We gave out about 9,500 carnival passes, or 10,000. And through the day, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., thousands of people came. Never too crowded, never too little. Just to share in the different parts, right? So behind the scenes, there was Trevor, Australian, and then Brian, one of our own, and just two of the many unseen, but must not be unsung heroes who serve humbly behind the scenes. And that's to show you that we are all one in Christ Jesus. If I told you how much work they did, beginning with Brian, right, who is a pilot, who was an Air Force pilot, now has gone commercial, and he's fitted out in his passion for aviation, fitted out a whole van, and that became the aviation simulator. And when it first came, when he first mooted the idea, I think, aviation simulator. Who would be interested in sitting in a van to simulate a flight, the landing of a flight? Guess what? The longest queues was for the aviation simulator, the flight simulator. An hour. And then half an hour queues for all those making planes. And then after they made the planes, fly the planes with father and mother, and you could see the excitement in their eyes behind the scenes. And Trevor just helping us, the hands and the feet, the moving of minds, the getting of things ready, the logistics person, they're all very high up in their professions. The unseen heroes, they mustn't be the unsung heroes. All one in Christ Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ is international. The Church of Jesus Christ didn't see racial barriers, didn't see class barriers, didn't see age barriers. We are one in Christ. Amen? Just checking the amen factor here. Okay, good. So God's wholeness question to you, His completeness of the church factor to you is, in what ways are you a barrier builder? In what ways are you a barrier breaker? And that will be a consistent message of the church. That the church of all groups of people, united, saved by Christ, united by Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, must keep prayerfully discerning and breaking down all barriers that divide us, because we have one Lord, one God, one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, are you walking around in your hearts, in your homes? Are you walking around in your relationships? Are you walking around as an arsonist? You know what an arsonist is? Somebody who starts fires. Are you walking around in your hearts, flowing, cascading into your homes, cascading into your relationships, cascading into church and ministry and mission? Are you walking around as a fireman, as a firewoman, offering none other than the cosmic peace of God, the shalom of God that has now come through Christ and Christ alone? And that's a very important question to ask from the time you wake. Do you want to be a fireman, firewoman, or you want to be a fire starter, an arsonist? And left to ourselves under Satan, you and me will start fires from morning to night, from Monday to Sunday. So are you a barrier builder, a barrier breaker? And we hope that Let's Carnival was a small picture of breaking down the barrier, inviting every single race to come and join us. Then we move on to the wholesomeness of the church. And under the wholesomeness of the church, we're going to address three things very briefly, and that will come up even more in the weeks ahead from Ephesians 4 to 6. There is the newness of the church, newness of being a child of God, newness of being the people of God. And then the nowness of the church, meaning what of the spiritual blessings should we experience now? Now that we call God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. But what are some blessings that can only be experienced not yet? Waiting for Jesus' second coming. Waiting for all of that to experience when Jesus returns and reconciles us completely to God. So are you ready? I'm going to take you through this? Yep. So, the newness of God's people. Let's trace the oldness first before we look at the newness. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Can we read that together? Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So whatever you do not know of yourself before you came to know God by God's grace, whatever you did not know about yourself before you came to know Jesus and what it means to believe in Him, you and me are described by God. The spiritual diagnosis of us is that you are not independent, you're not autonomous. You thought you were free, but you're not free, because you know why? You were enslaved to following three parties, enslaved to following the ways of the world, enslaved to following Satan, the prince of the ruler of the air, and enslaved to your own and my own disobedient hearts. You thought you were free when you made that decision. You thought you were free when you spoke that word. You thought you were free to feel whatever you want, do whatever you want. You're not free. You and me are enslaved. There's no such thing as a free agent. And that's the lie of the evil one, promising you autonomy and the beauty of autonomy when all you end up with is the slavery of autonomy, so-called freedom and fullness. But now, the goodness of our newness. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Notice, how do we come into relationship with this figure called the Christ? We learn Him. That's why week by week you got to pray for your preachers and pastors and teachers that they are good learners of Christ and then good teachers of Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And to do what? The truth of God that has come in Jesus. Jesus is the address or the human embodiment of God's truth. To do two things. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, I want you to look at yourself physically. So as I look at myself here, you know, from God's perspective, there is the old Christian and there is the new Christian. With the old Christopher Chair, you got to put that off. It's like old clothing to put off. And then you got to put on the new self, and the new self is created after the likeness of God. And how do we come to be re-imaged in God? In true righteousness and holiness. And you read in Scripture again and again, in true righteousness and holiness, only one came, and His name is Jesus Christ. The only way to bear the image of God is by faith relationship with Jesus. All other means is a lost cause, is a dead end. So whatever you do not know, you're traveling from the badness of the oldness of yourself to the goodness of the newness of your new self in Christ Jesus. A mouthful? This is what it means. So, the old self, you proclaim, you experience the goodness of you as king and queen of your life. Right? And Satan deluded you to think that you are free and you are full when you live your life without God. But little did you know, you became enslaved to self, you're enslaved to sin, and you and I become objects, the rightful objects of God's anger and God's judgment and God's punishment. But by grace, by faith in Christ Jesus, we now move to the goodness of Jesus as King. In believing in Jesus as God's end-time King, who has come to save you from Satan and from sin, God offers us true freedom. It's a paradox, not a gospel tension, it's a Christian tension. And what's the gospel tension or paradox? That being in faith in Christ, being enslaved to Christ, grants you true freedom and true fullness, that in doing so, you become the man or the woman God created you to be. You become the man and woman God recreated you to be in and through the sacrificial love and finished work of Jesus on the cross and resurrection from the dead. So, you know that once in 2 years when we have Let's Carnival, we choose 10 charities out of the 60-70 charities of the President's Challenge to give, to help them in their work. So how are we traveling? Is it upwards to the newness of life or downwards to the oldness of life? Every day, you are either putting on newness of life by faith in Christ, or you're resorting to your old life because you've been seduced by Satan to thinking that old way without God was better. And so I said, as part of Let's Carnival, giving to President's Challenge, one of the beneficiaries who was there, her name was this, written by Desmond, Minister Desmond, who came. And the wordings are too small. I don't have my script in front of me. This is all, I'm just speaking to you, just blank like this. Like, can you read me her name? Is her name Siu Mei? Siu Mei, right? And Siu Mei was born with cerebral palsy. But Siu Mei has become a Christian, a child of God. believes in Jesus Christ. And you know what this Xiaomi is doing? Together with a group of Christians from YMCA, they're going to climb Mount Fuji. So how many of you as Singaporeans have climbed Mount Bukit Timah? And the last time you checked, it wasn't a mountain. It was a hum. And you climb Bukit Timah Hill and you can't do it. And this, so I met another man and he's handicapped and impediment. And he's going, I said, how are you practicing for this? To climb Mount Fuji? He says, every day 25 stories, HDB flat, 25 stories, up, down, 25 stories, up, down. Neither of them think that being born with cerebral palsy or handicap was a mistake on God's part in their life. And how did they become experience this newness of life? They didn't live with bitterness. They didn't live with condemnation. They didn't live with the stigma. By faith in Jesus. Amen. So here we are, able-bodied. You think you'll be able to walk up Bukit Timah Hill? Climb 25 stories to keep yourself fit, to experience the newness of life? Every day you and me have to choose. You want to go upwards to the newness of life through a faith communion with Jesus, or you want to go back and live your life centered around you. Center around your self-pity. Center around your self-pleasure around your phone. Center around your pride. Center around your destructiveness of God and destructiveness of others. You choose. By the grace of God, I choose newness. Because oldness is horrible. Oldness is hell on earth. Newness is heaven on earth. And newness is going to be heaven forever. Amen? Hello. Presbyterians can say amen, you know. Because we're all charismatic. For through Him, we both access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, together, built on the foundation of apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in Him the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God, by the Spirit. And so in one passage, Paul tells them that you Gentiles have moved from your old life without God to your new life in Christ. And one of the three things he promises them, you're now fellow citizens of God's kingdom, you're members of God's family, and thirdly, you are the building blocks of God's temple. Don't forget, the you that he addresses here are Gentiles. If you know anything about God's theology of the temple, architecture of the temple first, then behind the architecture of the temple in Jerusalem all those years ago was the theology behind it. Gentiles not allowed to enter. Women outer. Men can enter. But then the priest, the high priest enters the Holy of Holies, the earthly semblance of God's presence with His people once a year. But the access to God was tightly controlled. You don't ever get crashed into God's presence because His holiness will zap you to death. You can only approach God after you sacrifice blood and say, my life on the life of this animal. But now Paul says to you, it's no longer an animal who died for you. It's no longer the blood of animal. It's the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. On that basis, you enter into God's presence with boldness and with confidence, not arrogance. With boldness and with confidence that as I enter and I name Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, I will be accepted. I will not be rejected by the true and the living and the holy God of the universe. Amen? Very important that we get this right. And so, our sad condition before, this is in chapter 2, right, verse 11 onwards, He tells the Gentiles, you were separated from Christ. You never knew that God promised Israel that one day there will come this figure with this title called the Christ. The Christ just means anointed King of God. And this Christ will be the end time and turns out eternal King. He will come from which line of kings? He will come from David's line. And so Gentiles, we never heard that. So in that sense, we are Christless. And then we are alienated from Israel, and so we are stateless. There are about 300-400 people here this morning. Thank you all for coming. After a long day of Let's Carnival, anyone of you here stateless without passport, don't put up your hands. Because that will get you into trouble and get me into trouble for hosting you here. Stateless. And then having no hope because you never knew of the true and living God. You had many idols, no true living God. Many idols, many dead and dumb idols, no true living God. You never heard that this God loves you so much that one day He will send the Christ to do something about cosmic war in the universe and cosmic war in your heart. And so you become hopeless. And because you're hopeless, you're ultimately hopeless because you were godless. You had many idols, but you had no true and living God. That's the world we live in. And so here is a picture. This was an award-winning picture taken by an award-winning photojournalist called Kevin Carter all those years ago. He documented a lot of the wars and the famine in Africa. I think Canadian, he was Canadian. And then he shot this. And many people ask him, after you shot this, what happened to the child? Did you do anything about it, or you shot it for your fame? And this is how his life ended. I'm really, really sorry. The pain of life overrides the joy to the point that joy no longer exists. Depressed people know this. You ask depressed people, when was the last time you felt joyful? They have no memory of that because they have no experience of that. Depressed, I'm haunted by the vivid memories of killings, of corpses, of anger, of pain, of starving and wounded children, of trigger-happy madmen, mainly in Africa, often police, of killer executioners. I've gone to join Ken if I'm that lucky. And he's only but the tip of the iceberg. His death is controversial. People do not know whether he took his life. Accident happened. But the point is not lost to us. If you don't know God, you and me live godless, hopeless, because we never knew God had an answer to our problem called the Christ. And Jesus, the small town boy, is the Christ. That is what is so hard to believe. Born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, son of a carpenter, did his ministry in Galilee. Small town boy is the Christ to bring cosmic peace between God and us, Jews and Gentiles. Are you kidding? No. This is Christianity. This is the gospel. This is the life-saving message of the world and for your heart and my heart. And so we are now fellow citizens of God's kingdom, members of God's household, equal partners, Jews and Gentiles, in His holy temple. I told you about the architecture, right? They who had no right to enter now can enter boldly, simply by mentioning the name of the Lord Jesus. By that name, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. So, this is the newness, the nowness of life. So the foundation of apostles and the prophets, as you read about in chapter 2, verse 19, as we read about, that it was the apostles who were eyewitnesses of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And so they wrote down all His words and all His works, enough for us to find salvation in Christ alone. And the prophets here, in all likelihood, not Old Testament prophets, but New Testament prophets said, everything the apostles said, that's true. Jesus is Lord, and Christ is the cornerstone. And from this cornerstone comes the temple. So, how many of you have built your own houses? Right. For those who are tuning in, 80% of Singaporeans here, much of Asia, we live in high-rise. Right. So many of you who are tuning in from America, from Canada, listening to this, different parts of the world, listening, you may have built your own houses. If you ever build your own house, the first most important thing you do, in the old days at least, is you choose your cornerstone, which is your best stone, your most solid stone. You lay it in the best part of your property, your land, and from that cornerstone, you measure up the length, the breadth, the height of your house or your building. That's what Paul is referring to. The temple building of God is no longer the temple in Jerusalem, but the new temple building is now the people of God, saved by the blood of Christ through faith in Him. You must anchor your life on Jesus and Jesus alone as your cornerstone. So He's telling Jews and Gentiles, there is only one source for the healthy growth of the church, for true love and unity to shine. If your cornerstone subtly shifts from Jesus and Jesus alone, it will lead to unhealthy growth. It will lead to fake love and fake unity within the church. And that's very important for us to realize. And so from Christ the cornerstone comes the temple, and the temple, the church of God, exists for God's glory. So are you ready for what this means? Foundation apostles and prophets, I told you. The prophets are the eyewitnesses. There was such a man. His name was Jesus. We walk, we live. We saw his deeds. We heard his words. We saw him die. We saw him rise. And the prophets give testimony to this. Jesus is as cornerstone, the foundation to true spiritual growth and true love and unity as the temple of God. You got that? So what I'm going to do for the next 3-4 minutes is to walk you through the fake cornerstones of the church. And the possible fake cornerstones of the church, right? We very subtly shift that the anchor of my Christian life personally, or the anchor of our collective church life, has shifted to someone else and something else but Christ. So what does this mean? I've told this story many times. Once a month, we have a newcomer's lunch. And the newcomer's lunch, all sorts of people come. And a few years ago, this girl came. She was Malay, right? Of the Malay race. And she asked, we give people the opportunity to ask whatever question they want to ask about us as Christians, ask of us personally as pastors, our theology, our history, etc. And said, Christians, you're supposed to be known for your love and your unity, right? How come you've got so many denominations and I hear your fight with each other? How do you think I answered her? With me, there are only two things. For all the bad things of the world, sin. For all the good things of the world, Jesus. I say, I'm so sorry that if the only thing you hear about us as Christians is our lack of love, our disunity, our fights, our many denominations, our splitting of churches, because we are sinful. We think the fastest way of church growth is to split the church. Keep quarreling with each other and say, hey, Lord, I planted another church. You didn't plant anything, you supplanted the church. You just split it into two. Two people who warred with each other, who fought with each other, because didn't agree on things in Christ Jesus. So here are the fake cornerstones. The fake cornerstones could be a family cornerstone. The fake cornerstone could be a program cornerstone, that the church is built on a program. And the church is built on a personality. And the church is built on a movement. If the church is built on anything else but Jesus Christ as your anchor, it will lead to unhealthy growth and fake love and fake unity. So what's a family cornerstone? Some churches are really traditional churches. You walk into that church and say, you know, they're always harping on, oh, it's my father, the Lee family, the Tan family, the Smith family, the Bala family started this church. And for a church that is family-oriented, right, they are always remembering the anniversary. There is no diagnosis of the present stagnation. There is no looking forward to the future. Always the anniversary is the biggest event in the church calendar. And some of you may have come from churches like that. The anniversary is the biggest thing. Do you notice we don't celebrate anniversaries? We have gone too far, right? We should celebrate once in 30 years, lah. Something like that. And then program cornerstone, always harping on the latest program, latest version of the English Bible, latest version of discipleship, latest version of evangelism, latest version of church growth, latest version. And has your church embarked on that? And if we didn't embark on this program, it would seem we are second class, almost paria. You know what paria means? Cannot make it, lah. That means your evangelism program didn't make it, and your discipleship program didn't make it, your prayer program didn't make it, your mission program, because we didn't buy into the standard ones that everybody must take on. Then the personality cornerstones. In the 1500s, 500 years ago, yes, Luther is our founder. Calvin is our great theologian. Presbyterians, we come from the Calvinist line, right? Wesley, Charles and John Wesley, and the Spurgeons. The modern days are John Stott. And then you got Bill Hybels in America. And sadly, they have now accused him of sexual scandal. And then we got our heroes like the Kellers and the Pipers. And they go on. And so you got personality cornerstones. And then you got movement cornerstones. Jumping on the next bandwagon. So the biggest thing when I became a Christian in the 80s was the Lauzon movement, started by John Stott and Billy Graham, etc. Then came the Seeker Service by Bill Hybels. Is yours a Seeker Service? You know what Seeker Service is? Today is millennial generation. We all have low concentration span. You must never run a service beyond 60 minutes. Where they got that from, I have no idea. But just go and check Seeker Service. And you must never preach a sermon beyond 20 minutes. They found out 20 years after that, right? 30 years after the Seeker Service phenomena, they are producing very shallow Christians. That means the length of sermons we preach here and the content here is right. Stay with it. Bear with it. 40 minutes, 45 minutes is not the length. You want 20-minute sermons? Chop, chop. Right? Chicken soup for the soul. We don't give chicken soup for the soul. We give Jesus Christ for eternity. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And the denominational cornerstone. Then you find your confidence, your security in your denomination. Right? You would notice after worshipping with us for a while, we are Adam Road Presbyterian Church. Of those four words, which one is most important to us? Please don't say Adam Road. I don't think you also say Presbyterian, because so very rare do I bring out Presbyterianism, unless our Presbyterianism really aligns with our Christianity. The most important thing to us is church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Is that right? I want you to tell me how many times have I used the word Presbyterian in the last 10 years you were here? Which tells you in and out every week, you're going to hear about the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. It's not the beauty and majesty of being a Methodist or being a Presbyterian or being an Anglican or being charismatic. You think what? You go to heaven if there are pearly gates. I don't know whether there are pearly gates, but there are all sorts of jokes about pearly gates. Right? So I stand there, Presbyterian, Methodist. Is it? And that's your confidence? Of course not. You mentioned Luther, boom. Calvin, boom. So who are you going to mention to get in? I suggest only one name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because only He loves you and me. Only He suffered for you. Only He bled for you. Only He died for you. And only He rose. And He's now with you by His Spirit. So you think we are a little bit crazy about Jesus? Yes, you bet. Beginning with me. There's nothing else we will preach but Jesus Christ. Amen? Then the governance cornerstone. Right? Always harping on compliance to the law. Thanks or no thanks to some churches that fell. And in Singapore, we had City Harvest. And there was a financial scandal. And it gave such a bad name to us all around. I've told you this story, haven't I? That this boy came up to me, and this young man came up to me at the New Year's Eve dinner. And said, can I speak to you, Pastor Chris? New Year's Eve dinner, we all gathered, give thanks to God. Say, is it true, Pastor Chris, that all pastors are not trustworthy? So I asked him, what do you mean? He said, my father said, that City Harvest Church. So what do you think? So I had to explain to him, right, just because you have one bad doctor, that means all doctors are bad. So how many of you don't go to see a doctor now because there's one bad doctor in Singapore? How many of you don't go to a professional because there's one bad architect, there's one bad lawyer? You don't stop coming to church because there's one bad pastor, one church that had a scandal. You mustn't give yourself a caveat to drop out on the church of Jesus Christ, loved by Jesus Christ, saved by Jesus Christ, forgiven by Jesus Christ, used by Jesus Christ. Amen? And then we use all the new governance laws. I've got some of my colleagues who have left the ministry because their leadership is, yes, governance, governance. Nobody speaks about Jesus. Everybody speaks about the law. We have one called the law keeper, the law fulfiller. It's the law of love. I may not be able to cross all the T's and dot the I's according to the law of the land. You want to use the law of the land to check my life? You got to do a camera on me 24/7. And some of us find that too restrictive. And that becomes now the cornerstone of the church. No, friends. So God's question to us about cornerstones, is your growth unhealthy? Or do you have a fake peace and a fake love? Because it's based on the wrong cornerstone. Christ and Christ alone. If your life is lived and you remain abide in His word and His love, flowing from you would be His word and His love, cascading out of your new heart, the newness of your heart in Christ Jesus. So swapping cornerstones, please take note, they are subtle but substantial shifts in your Savior, in your salvation, in your security. Plead no one else but Jesus as your security. Amen? Plead no one else, go to nowhere else but the foot of the cross and the throne of the Lamb of God. But then the not yetness of the church, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You know, can you imagine? Paul is writing this letter, and if this letter is read out verbally for them, he's telling Jews and Gentiles seated beside each other. The modern day version, he's telling Hong Konger and mainlander, Hong Kong Chinese and mainline Chinese sitting beside each other. God is building you up into a temple pleasing unto him. And you can sense the ridicule. And are you kidding? I can't stand this person. Yes, without Christ, you can't stand a person. You can't stand, sit down. Never mind, it was a bad joke. We are not called to stand each other. We're not called to tolerate each other. We are called to love one another. And did you know something? That the church is positionally complete. That when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, every single person that has been ordained from Jews and Gentiles to be part of his church, God already knows. But right now, progressively, right, you and me are being invited. Malay, Chinese, Indian, American, Africans, Asians are now being invited as the gospel goes to the ends of the earth. So the church is both complete and yet growing at the same time. If I'm complete, why should I grow? Here is the gospel tension. The now, but the not yetness. Right? And the not yetness, some things must be said about not yetness. The not yetness of the church is we have the first deposit of the Holy Spirit. But we have to wait the full inheritance. The experience of the full inheritance, and the full inheritance and the full experience of it can only be experienced when Jesus comes and offers you a glorious eternal body. If I get you to look at your body one more time, your body, not mine, your body, you should look at the body and say, inglorious. No matter what you think of your body, it's going to end up either in cemetery or crematorium. No matter how much you deodorize your body, cosmeticize your face. Is there such a word? You're still going to end up in graveyard and crematorium. So there is a not yetness. We're waiting for Jesus' second return for the glorious body and the glorious life of unhindered presence with God. So the not yetness of Christians and the church, Christians, believers, the followers of Jesus are not yet problem-free. From morning to night, even though I believe in Jesus, my life could be still filled with problems at home and at work. Your life and my life is still not sickness-free, illness-free. I asked you at the Christmas service and the New Year's Eve service, I do not know. Do you know who among your loved ones might be stricken with a terminal illness this year? You know, who among your family and friends might die of cancer this year? I have no idea. And just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean we are immunized from sickness. We're not pain-free. We're not sin-free. So in some circles that say, the moment you believe in Jesus, everything, the fullness of heaven has arrived. We call that over-realized heaven. That means you brought heaven to earth. You're not traveling to heaven. And heaven is still there. The new heavens and new earth is still there. You've got to travel to the end until Jesus comes. You can't bring it down here. What is down here is in you by the Holy Spirit. And what you can download down is every spiritual blessing in Christ. That you are now the beloved, adopted son and daughter of God. That one you can download right now. Right now you can download his forgiveness. Right now you can download every blessing in Christ Jesus. So we do sin, we do falter, and we do cry because simultaneously we are the glorious and inglorious church of God. Simultaneously is not a contradiction. It's just a tension you have to live with. You're both glorious and you still suffer in your inglorious old self. And then the witness of the church. To me though, I'm the very least of the saints. Here's Paul, the very least. The language is, I'm the leastest of the saints. Very bad grammar. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles what? The unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone. What is the plan of the mystery? Plan of the mystery? Hidden for ages in God. And what is it? What is this mystery that God has kept to himself? That even the heavenly beings didn't know who created all things. So that through the church of reconciled Jews and Gentiles to God, the church of reconciled Jews and Gentiles to each other, the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So, you read that verse, tell me, who should be learning from who? Heaven learning from earth or earth learning from heaven? And the answer is very clear. The heavenly beings look at the earthly church, which is you and me here, and anywhere as you're listening to this on podcast, if you're Christians and churches, the heavenly beings look at the earthly church of reconciled people to God, reconciled Jews and Gentiles, and say, if God could bring peace between these two groups of people through Christ, then nothing in the universe is too impossible for Him to bring. And so in that sense, it was both witness and warning to the heavenly places, to the authorities who still follow Satan and wage war against God and instigate the church of Jesus Christ. So living as peacekeepers, that's chapter 4, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Living as God's church, as peacekeepers, under Jesus as the ultimate peacemaker, is witness and warning that Jesus has come to end all wars in the heavenly places and all wars in our hearts and our homes. Because Christ has come to absorb all that warring in our hearts. Amen? You know, when I first understood this, what does that mean? It means right now as we gather as God's church, you're being watched from heaven. There's a giant video in heaven, and they are watching how you and me, in our hearts, are relating to each other. And when you and I relate to each other with love, genuine love downloaded from Jesus Christ, genuine peace, because Jesus is our peacemaker, then they shudder in heaven. Have you seen The Lion King? In the original one, I saw the remake. It's quite good. All the colors are beautiful. No matter what the critics, don't listen to critics. Just watch it. In the original, right? The hyenas are making fun of Mufasa, the Lion King, right? And so they're not afraid of anyone except for Mufasa. And they're joking, and they mention the name and they joke with each other, Mufasa! Then Mufasa turns up and they all fall into place. There's one name where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the first evidence of that is the church of Jesus Christ on earth, living out His love, living out His peace. And so what we do from day to day, and what we do once in 2 years for Let's Carnival, are big things, sending love and peace all around us. Yep. So I'm walking around the carnival, and I saw that God had made peace with Darth Vader. And the guy, can you guess who this is? I have no idea. But I look at his size, maybe Pastor Jeff. So big size, right? Maybe some of the big size fellows, maybe Jonathan Tan, our new MAPF. Is this couple, because his wife was there, I knew it was the husband, Haley, right? And then God has made peace even with the mutant heroes of this world. Spider-Man was there, right? And so I walk around and just notice this. But more seriously, it was so good to see Malay, Chinese, and Indians. And the Malay food vendors and hawkers just coming to give bowl after bowl, hundreds of bowls, right? Just being part of this, that we can send a message all around us. And yeah, they enjoyed themselves. And you know, many of the hawkers, they ran short of supplies and they went back and brought new supplies because we told them that thousands of people were coming and they were happy to do this. And this lady, right? To me, the best food that I ate yesterday, because you ate the rest, I only had a few dishes left, I ate the tauhu goreng. And she is the creator of this tauhu goreng. And she told me how she fries them. Each one of them is freshly made, freshly fried. And then the sauce, which is the secret. So I thank her, right? And the guys who were doing it, this whole DG group, discipleship group, notice most of them have lost hair in doing so. No, it just happens to their hairstyle. And when I popped in, so I popped into as many as possible to try and encourage them that they were doing this out of their love for God, right? And saw them working with each other, smiling in their faces. And I think it was a genuine smile. And one of them whispered to me, Peter, the leader of the group, you know, for us here in Singapore, we are very well-disciplined and a good country. For us to handle food that is to be served to the public, you need a license. Just in case there's food poisoning, who's going to be held accountable for this? And so all our people who handle food on behalf of the hawkers who gave their food for free, we needed food handlers. All of them had to go for training. So they are now licensed to handle food, not to kill. Licensed. And he whispered to me, "Not enough, Pastor Chris. Next year, next time we have this, we need 100 because about 60 or 70 of us are now licensed food handlers." And so to see them do this with joy, right? And this is a father and son team. This is Ken Tiong, his dad. I think his dad's about 70. To be standing there to 3, 4, 6 hours, just frying away. He's just known for this, right? Together with sons, a masterful chef. Just doing this out of joy of his life. I just went around just saying hello, encouraging them. Keep going, uncle, you want me to fry? No, thank you. Thank God. And then there was Mitchell, our own in-house brother in Christ, singing away wonderful Christian songs, right? Don't you think that was great? And then final song, he had to sing an Ed Sheeran song, right? And why? Because his fiancée was there. Of course, we gave him the allowance to do that. 3 Christian songs, 1 fiancée song, okay. Yeah, good balance. Because the highlight for me in the whole carnival was actually making peace with dogs. Oh, no, not yet. And these are the security men. My life was totally secure in their hands, especially the 2 with sunglasses. The ones who need to go to the gym a bit more are slightly further away from me. Right. So notice I felt most safe because of those 2 near to me. Right. And so they protected me, they protected the president, and it was just great that all of them took their duties with seriousness and with joy upon their faces, and I hope joy in their hearts. And Anita, who emceed this from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'm speaking to you, this is about going to be 45 minutes. Imagine going like that, at this pace, with this enthusiasm and this passion in my heart for 6 hours. Welcome to president. Say goodbye to people. Hello, Singapore. Wow. 6 hours of this. Anita was here at 9 o'clock. So we glory in God, but we give thanks to God's people. Amen. We glory in God. We must encourage each other. And that's Anita. Wonderful. But my highlight was the dog. The dog, if you ever ask the question, right, when your pet dog dies, will there be dogs in heaven? Answer, yes. Because the new heavens and new earth, the lion and lamb slept together. Right? Are set together. So the lion will not prey upon the lamb. At least that's my theology for now. And so I sneaked out and saw the doggy show. I was so excited about that doggy show. Right? And so we experienced God's love and God's peace in so many different ways. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. That's all I'm saying to you in this sermon. I'm physically exhausted. I woke up with a bad sore throat. I pumped in 2 Panadols. I prayed around so that I'll be able to preach this. Because from the bottom of my heart, you are a great church. Turn to people around you and say, you are a great church. And that's not glorying in ourselves. That's glorifying God. Oops, something has gone off. It's got to come on again. So why must we celebrate and glory in being God's church? We must celebrate and glory in God's church because it firstly celebrates and glorifies Jesus, the head of the church. If Jesus is head of the church and we don't glory in his body, which he purchased with his blood, which is empowered now with his spirit and continually making holy by his Holy Spirit and his holy word, then we are saying to the head, you botch up the church. The head didn't botch up the body. We are positionally the holy people of God. We are progressively the holy people of God. And one day when he returns, we will be with him forever and ever. Amen? And so this is what we have experienced under God's hand. Why must we do this? So I got a message. It was sent to us. Allow me to read this as we end our time together. Is that okay? Yeah. And here's a message that was passed on to us. Let me pass a very pleasing word from a family that we invited to come today to the carnival. I met them in the evening of a community centres in Singapore celebrating National Day, and had a quick chat about their experience today. Just a little bit of background. The family used to be churchgoers, but somehow have stopped going, losing interest. Today, as they walked into Let's Carnival, which was yesterday, they were wowed at the scale of the carnival. Before coming, they thought it's a typical community centre event. They said it was amazing how big and professional everything was. The game stalls were so impressive, And they were also impressed with the prizes, not just the candy or the usual prizes at National Day events. The kids got a lot of prizes, including soft toys and even a box of chocolate wafer, which they thought they would never experience in an event like this. They were also impressed with the food stalls. The husband told me about the popular hawker brands that I don't even remember, but he recognized the names. And the highlight of all, at the end, he said, he's impressed at how much is spent by the church, not to get money from people, from the community, but actually to bless the community. Because what we ask you to pay here, $2, the value of these $2 was infinitely more than $2. The 25 famous hawker stalls would have been $40 for you. And the game stalls and the things we gave. And he says, the highlight of this, how much the church has been spent by the church, how much money has been spent by the church, not to get money from the community, but to bless the community. He said the price of the booklet is definitely not enough to cover the cost. He's impressed to see how the youth, our boys' brigade, serve the elderly group, the recipients of our giving, even to the point of helping the uncle, auntie in the wheelchair to feed themselves. He told me, this church definitely doesn't look like the church that asks for money from people. So he asked me, where does your money come from? And our church members say, God. You want to read my message? Is exactly what I'm reading. I'm not making it up. And said, God. And there was a short answer and laughter all around. But I think ultimately it was the correct answer, right? His wife then said, we haven't been to church for a long time. Maybe we should check out this church, ARPC. The husband nodded and agreed that their kids can also join our children's church. They can't make it tomorrow, which is today, but they plan to come when they come back from their holiday next week. Let's pray for others that came today, that they can see beyond the fun and the food. Let's pray that what we did could be a testimony of a greater story of love, that we will see more people drawn closer to know God personally, for the first time, and again, and again. So I'm physically tired, but I'm spiritually high. Are you? You should be. You should be. Because all that we step out to do in faith, in obedience to Christ, when we are doing it, never feels like the right thing. Why can't somebody do this? Whose brilliant idea is this? If you kept asking, whose brilliant idea is this? I have an answer. It's God's brilliant idea. It's God's brilliant idea for you to be a witness to the nation, to your neighborhood, and to the world. So from the bottom of my heart, our pastors and our leaders, thank you for being the Church of Jesus Christ. We are perfect in Him. We are still making progress in our holiness, but we are unashamed that we stand and we want to glorify God. Let's stand. Let's pray together. We'll sing this closing song, and thank you so much again.